Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you that you are in our midst. We desire to be brought closer to you. We want to have yet another encounter with this one true God that Pastor has talked about. We know that you're always seeking to acquaint yourself with us and to have us acquainted with you yet more and more. And that's what we desire. Father, you have taught us to not only have desire, but to also express desire for the things that delight your heart. And this is us declaring our desire and saying, Lord, we want you. We want what is of you. We want more of you. And may you indulge us today. May you indulge us today with yourself. You've taught us in your word that without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Lord, may this be counted in your eyes as yet one more push in our diligence to seek you and to find you. May you reward us by making yourself known. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Ah, glory to Jesus. Worship team, I believe you are in the spirit. Hallelujah. By singing the songs that you are singing. And as I preach, I believe you will see why. Hallelujah. So I am going to be talking about what I call the second blessing. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Okay, cheer up. You're so tough. You're so tough looking. Hallelujah. I'm coming. Just cheer up, relax. This is not an exam. We are going to be blessed. Hallelujah. So I'm going to preach about what I am calling the second blessing. Now, this is not something original to me, the phrase. It's something I borrow from what the old timers used to say. Now, in talking about the second blessing, I am going to, first of all, I'm going to talk about two things which are all coming from the old timers. I mean our forerunners in the faith. Glory to Jesus. Our forerunners in the faith, the people that came before us years ago, hundreds of years ago. There are two things, there are two ways in which they used to use the word blessing that we are going to borrow from. One of them is when they would have a meeting, I don't mean a business meeting, I mean a meeting like this, or a conference, or a seminar or something, and the presence of God manifested, or the power of God hit the place, they would describe that as God blessing the meeting. Hallelujah. They would say, we had a meeting and God was really blessing the meeting. Of course, indirectly, they were also including the effects of that blessing, like salvation, healing, the infilling in the Holy Spirit, and the like. So that's the first way that they used blessing, which we are going to be talking about. The second one was, they tended to have experiences which created like a renewal or a new beginning in a person's life. And they said they described it as a deep work of sanctification, consecration or something. So it was to them something like being born again a second time. Hallelujah. Now they described that one because it was something that came after salvation. They described it as a second blessing. Praise the name of Jesus. So, I want to talk about those two blessings, which in a sense really come to the same blessing as we shall go ahead. Hallelujah. Alright, so we begin in Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, this is shortly after Peter and John are walking into the temple, and they come across a crippled man sitting at the gate called Beautiful. And he asks them for money, and they tell him, we don't have money, but what we have, we give you. And then the Bible says he looked upon them expecting to receive something from them. And anyway, Peter, fastening his eyes on him, spoke to him and said, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he received strength in his ankles and bones. And he, leaping up, stood and went into the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Now the Bible tells us that a crowd gathered. And now when the crowd gathered, Peter used this as an opportunity to preach to them something. He told them about Jesus and what he came for and what befell him at the hands of the Romans and the Jews. Then we come to verse 19. This is where we're going to take our portion from. Verse 19 to verse 26. So Peter is telling them, he says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you, and it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth, or all the families of the earth, be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Praise the name of Jesus. So, this is one of those passages probably we read in the Bible, and it's just routine. We read, and we move on. But the Lord awakened these scriptures to me some years ago, and recently showed me that I should share these things with you. Now, you'll notice Peter is saying these people need to repent and be converted, which results in salvation. Why? So that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. And then he says, because of this, he is going to send Jesus, who has been told about by the prophets, all of them from Samuel and those that follow after. Glory to Jesus. And then still comes back to the same thing by saying that this is even why Abraham was told that in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Hallelujah. The blessing he was talking about was the blessing of a person. But of course, the person is there for why we talk about the presence, because we are talking about the presence of the person. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, to even see the more that this is what actually it was talking about, when you go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, the Bible tells us about this blessing of Abraham. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14 tells us, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through what? Through faith. So, Abraham was told, in your seed, all the kindreds, all the families, all the clans, all the nations, all the ethnicities, all the peoples of the earth shall be blessed. Now, of course, the door to that blessing is salvation. But let us remember, why is God interested in salvation? It's not for salvation itself. It is so that we can become his people. Praise the Lord. And the definition of being his people is being people who have him. Isn't it? Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. And that is why when he says you're going to receive the blessing of Abraham, he immediately inserts the promise of the Spirit. Why? Because as you know from the scriptures, like in 1 John 3:24, the Bible says, this is how we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given to us. So the Spirit is an agent through which he can be with us. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. And that is why the blessing of Abraham now sort of changes the perception you have of it, because if the families of the earth are to, or rather, the way the families of the earth are to be blessed is that they are all going to become people of God like Abraham's first nucleus, the first nuclear family, now has spread to not being the only ones who are the people of God, but then the rest of us. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. That's how they're going to be blessed. That's how we're going to be blessed. That's how we become the seed of Abraham by faith. So that now, with Abraham's first family, the extended family all becomes the people of what? The people of God. And again, Joel 2:28 tells us that it shall come to pass in the last days that I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. On the handmaidens and on the maidservants I'll pour out my Spirit. Hallelujah. And they shall all prophesy. Again, look at that. It's talking about the fulfillment of Abraham's blessing. Praise the Lord. All flesh is going to have the Spirit. But to have the Spirit, why? So that they who are not a people can now be called what? The people of God. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's read there. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. Are you there? Okay. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people. Hallelujah. But are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I want you to look at salvation through that lens. Salvation is not just about redemption from sin. It's redemption from sin. Why? So that we may return to being the people of God. Hallelujah. Which is what was there in the Garden of Eden anyway. Hallelujah. There was fellowship with God, which sin adulterated. And then now God works back to restoring that what? That fellowship, so that they may be the people of God. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to Jesus. So, in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, where we read, it is taking a deliberate effort to make you see that the blessing is Jesus. The blessing is Jesus. The Spirit of Jesus, Jesus coming to us, is the blessing because of the agenda that we have talked about. Times of refreshing coming from the presence of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And this is my personal belief. When I was meditating on this morning, I realized that This could be why when Peter went to Cornelius' house in Acts chapter 10 and was preaching to them, remember Cornelius was the first fruits of the Gentiles. He was the first Gentile person or family, head of a family with his family to enter into salvation. Glory to God. So he signified the coming of the nations into what had belonged only to the first nation, which was the Israelites. Now, this is why I find it interesting that while Peter was preaching there, the Bible says while he was still speaking to them, the Spirit fell on all of them who were hearing what he was saying. And the Jews who came with Peter acknowledged that the Spirit had been given to them just like it had been given upon us in the beginning because we had them speaking with tongues. Now, what I wanted you to see there is it seems to me the Lord there was trying to make the emphasis that I want them saved so that they can have the Spirit. Just like he said that you may receive the blessing of Abraham and resultantly the promise of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 3 verse 14. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Are we together at least up to that point? Glory to Jesus. Now, we are going to shift to the Old Testament. We're going to shift to the Old Testament from the New Testament. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. Glory to Jesus. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was what? That rock was Christ. So we are in the Old Testament and we're seeing God transacting, dealing with the Jews by these various features or should I say go-betweens. He's coming to them in a cloud, in the sea, in the spiritual meat that came from above, and also in the spiritual drink that came from the rock that followed them. And then he's telling us that that rock was Christ. Now, I want you to see, first and foremost, as usual, in the Bible, sometimes when the Bible is trying to tell you something about something, it may tell you about one of the things in a group of things so that you can relate that this applies to all. Hallelujah. For example, here when he concludes with the spiritual rock, telling us that the rock they drank from was Christ, it is to help you see that all these other things that have come before are actually of the same nature. Praise the name of Jesus. The rock was Christ, but so was the spiritual meat, and so was the cloud. And so was the sea. Praise the name of Jesus. For example, you know that, maybe let me talk about the relationship between those things. You know, for example, that one time when the Israelites complained about meat, when they first saw the manna, they say it was like a wafer or something like that. And a wafer is like a pastry. It's some kind of either cake or bread or something like that. If you're a chef, you can help us. But the bottom line is there was no meat in there. So they complained that they want meat. So one time, the Lord told Moses, glory to God, that he's going to bring meat that they will not eat only one day, 2 days, 3 days, 20 days, they'll eat it for a full month until it comes to their what? To their nostrils. Now in Numbers 11, the Bible tells us, remember I was telling you there's a relationship between these things. He who was the rock, or what the rock was, is what the spiritual meat was, and is what the cloud was, and is what the sea was. Praise the Lord. Now, the Bible tells us in Numbers chapter 11, glory to Jesus. Numbers chapter 11 that, let's get there and read it together so that we are on the same page. Hallelujah. All right, Numbers 11, are you there? Verse 31. It says, and there went forth a wind from the Lord and brought quails. Quails are fowl, or they are in the family of chickens and things like that. Praise the Lord. So he brought quails from the what? Hallelujah. Are you seeing the relationship I was talking about? He brought quails from the sea and let them fall by the camp, as it were, a day's journey on this side, and as it were, a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, and as it were, 2 cubits high. I don't know what cubits are in our modern units, but I believe it was high. Glory to God. Maybe like the height of a man's shoulders or something. But this is the point. Upon the face of the earth, and people stood up all day, verse 32, and all that night, and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. He that gathered least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp, and while the flesh was yet between their teeth, before it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague, and he called the name of that place Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people that lasted, and the people journeyed from Kibroth Hattaavah unto Hazeroth, and abode at Hazeroth. So, notice, now, this is telling you that the spiritual meat, the manna, on this occasion came from where? From the sea. It's like these different, I'm failing to get a word for them, these different, what do you call them? These different objects, let me say, that by which God sustained the people, were all of the same essence. That's what I am saying. The spiritual meat, the spiritual rock, the cloud, and the sea. They were all of the same what? Essence, and that essence was Christ. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. So they were all of the same essence. Here, you find that when God once chooses, he can choose to get the spiritual meat from the cloud, or he can choose to get it from the sea, or he can choose to get it from the rock if he wants, because it's all the same what? It's the same essence. Now, I want to show you just one other thing about that, that could help you and I to see that. You'll notice in I wrote it here, but essentially, it's also in chapter 11, actually. It tells us that when the manna fell, or rather, when the dew fell, the manna fell upon it, or the manna fell with it. Where does dew come from? It comes from fog. What is fog? Fog is a kind of a cloud. Praise the Lord. So, the fog made dew. The manna fell with the dew. In Psalms 78, the Bible describes it as having rained down manna. Psalm 78, I think verse 24, and also 27, I think. It tells us he rained down manna. Where does rain come from? Comes from the clouds. Praise the Lord. Now, if we are together on that, to that point, then we're going to come to something interesting here in, that verse was verse 9 actually. Verse 9 says, and when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Some translations say the manna fell with it. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, then the other scripture was Psalm 78 verse 24, like I said, which says he rained down the manna. Now, what I wanted to get to, very interesting also, is to now look at it from a slightly different angle. This is all just to say to us that this is all the same essence. If you look at it from a different angle,
you'll see that the scripture we read in 1 Corinthians 10 tells us that these people were baptized into the sea and into the cloud. They were baptized, into Moses in the cloud and in the what? And in the sea, praise the Lord, and did all eat the same spiritual meat and drank from the same spiritual rock, and that rock was what? Was Christ. Now, I wanted to show you that this Moses, whom we are being told they were baptized into, by being baptized into the cloud and in the sea, said in Deuteronomy chapter 18, but we already read it in the Acts 3 scripture, but we could just read this one for good measure. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18. Are you there? Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18. I will raise up, this is Moses being told by the Lord, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto me. Hallelujah. Like unto thee. He's saying like Moses, right? And will put my words into his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command. What? All that I shall command him. Now, I wanted to give you the extra encouragement that these things are all of the same essence, which is Christ, because anyway, the Bible is telling us that in having the cloud follow them and in them crossing the sea and, of course, eating of the spiritual meat which came from the sea and the cloud and drinking from the same spiritual rock, they were being baptized into Moses. But Moses said, the Lord is going to raise up a prophet like me. And this prophet, you will hear in everything he says and so on. And we know that the prophet is talking about is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's what Acts chapter 3, verse 22 says. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. So, we are together at least to that point. Now, these things, again, we can settle them with the help of Hebrews chapter 1, which tells us that in times past, and at sundry times, the Lord spoke to the fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has chosen to speak to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down, having received a more excellent name than that of the angels, if I paraphrase. But what is that scripture telling us? It is describing Jesus as the express image of God. Or in layman's terms, you can say he is the expression of God. And then it is calling him the brightness of his glory, which is also simply saying he is the glory of God. Now, those things we looked at in the Old Testament were just different shades or different forms of the glory of God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Again, what were they saying? What were they communicating? They were communicating Christ, who is the expression of God. He is the glory of God. Hallelujah. This is going to be important. Glory to Jesus. Now, lastly, on that little bit of point is Isaiah chapter 63, verse 9. Isaiah chapter 63, verse 9. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 63, verse 9. Are you there? Now, it's describing the same events that we've just been looking at, and it says, in all their affliction. Okay, let's begin from verse 8. Oh, verse 7. Let's begin from verse 7, right? It says, I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies, and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. Verse 8, for he said, surely they are what? My people, children that will not lie. So he was their savior. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. And he bore them and carried them all the days of old. Praise the name of Jesus. The angel of his presence, what does that signify to us? Remember those pillar, the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. These are angelic what? They are angelic hosts coming to the aid of what? Of Israel. They are coming to signify the presence of God. Praise the Lord. That's why actually you'll find in the Bible, there is an interchange, an interchangeableness. Praise the Lord. In the scriptures, in the Old Testament especially, between is it the Lord speaking or it is an angel speaking, like in the burning bush. If you read some accounts of the burning bush, the Bible says the Lord spoke to Moses out of the what? The bush. When you read other accounts, they say the angel of the Lord spoke to him out of the bush. I do not think it has to be one or the other. Because even if it hadn't been that the Lord specified and said this was the work of the angel of his presence, all angels are messengers. They are messengers of the Lord. Hallelujah. Messengers to speak on his behalf. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, it is no surprise that then these features, these objects that through which the Christ ministered to people from his presence or made his presence do them service, praise the Lord, were then called blessings. Amen. We have several scriptures that give us that, like Ezekiel 34:26. I believe you can note it down and check it out. It talks about showers of blessing, just like Deuteronomy 28 verse, I think, 11 and 12, describes rain as a blessing. The Bible talks about clouds, praise the Lord, clouds being full in Ecclesiastes 11. When the clouds are full, they empty themselves upon the earth. But this emptying is signifying a blessing, because remember he tells them, that cast your bread upon the what? The waters, and after many days, you will see it. How will you see it? Because having done this over time, you will cause the clouds to become full. And then they will empty themselves for you. Praise the Lord. But he's with the background that we have, we're able to see that these things are all acting in behalf of the presence of God. Because he's the one who describes himself as El Shaddai. El Shaddai means the all-sufficient one. But also it means the many-breasted one. He's like a nurturing mother to all of creation. Praise the name of Jesus. But all these avenues that he's using, he's calling a blessing by extension. Because when he's involved, those things will be a blessing. Hallelujah. When he's connected to it, of course the rain will be a blessing. Of course the cloud will be a blessing. Of course, praise the Lord, the spiritual meat that comes from him will be a blessing. Praise the Lord. And that in a sense also says something. Praise the Lord. It also says that the things that God brings to us are a blessing in two dimensions. They're a blessing in themselves, because they do us good. But they are also a blessing because they come with a presence. Praise the Lord. They come with him, the one who is responsible for them. Just like the things of the devil also come with his presence. Like Pastor has told us. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, Another scripture in Deuteronomy chapter, well, actually, okay, Deuteronomy chapter 33. Hallelujah. Wow. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 13. This is Moses blessing the children of Israel before his death. And he has come now to Joseph in verse 13. And he says, and of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord be his land for the precious things of heaven, for the dew and for the deep that coucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth from the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and the fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. Let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. His glory is like the firstling of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of unicorns. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth, and they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the 1,000s of Manasseh. Hallelujah. One other scripture before we go on. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. Hallelujah. Zechariah, pastor says. There's a certain man of God I had some preacher talk about, and he says when that preacher is reading that servant of Elisha, he would say, and Elisha said to Gehazi, oh God. Zechariah chapter 10 verse 1, it says, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. Praise the Lord. Again, just I thought I would throw that in for good measure. Now, having said what we have said, seeing that this Christ with whom he expected or desired the nations to be blessed was seen in these different objects by which he accompanied with them, like the cloud, the pillar of cloud, the rock that followed them, the sea, and so on. We now come to the issue of the thing we always run into in the Pentecostal world, especially of the presence as opposed to the things the presence does. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. And I want to give us a little bit of insight on that. What I mean is that people say that you should seek the giver and not the what? And not the gifts. You should seek the Lord and not the things of the Lord. So I want us to answer that question here. And I believe one perfect example of that is Philippians chapter 4 verse 6, where the Bible tells us that do not worry about anything, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Then it says, whatever things are true, whatever things are pure, honest, just, and so on, think on these things. And then he comes to verse 9. Hallelujah. Verse 9. I think will bless you, because he says, the things you have learnt and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall do what? Now you'll notice in verse 7 he said, if you do what I've instructed you, the peace of God will keep your hearts and minds in what? In Christ Jesus. Now in verse 9, he's flipping it around and showing you that that same coming of the peace of God will amount to you having encountered the God of what? Of peace. And I want that to be something that you remember, because it's going to help you make sense of everything. Like I said, The things God does carry his presence with them. Praise the Lord. Actually, the things God does are a means of contact with him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That is how you indulge him. You indulge him by indulging the things that are of him. You indulge the devil by indulging the things that are of the what? Of the devil. You encounter the God of a thing by encountering that thing if it is from God. Hallelujah. A good example of that is Abraham. You remember when he was told to sacrifice Isaac and he took him to the mountain? But when he was asked as he was going, he said the Lord will provide himself a what? A sacrifice. And when he got there, Hebrews tells us that he was ready to kill the boy if necessary, because somehow he believed God will raise him up if he has to, because he's the same person who told me that in my seed shall all the families of the earth be what? Blessed. So now when he gets there, the Lord says, Abraham, don't kill your son. I see that you believe me. And then he gives him a ram, and he killed the ram, or the sheep, and sacrificed to God. And then the Bible says he called God Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord provider, or in the mountain of the Lord it shall be what? It shall be seen. It shall, because a provider, to provide means to see the need and make provision for it, or make supplies for it. Hallelujah. So again, notice that. How did he encounter this Jireh, this God of provision? By the provision of this God. Hallelujah. It sounds simple, but that's actually how simple it is. If you are to encounter God, if we are to encounter God, we must seek the things that he's involved in. For then we shall encounter him. Hallelujah. Because he cannot be involved without being there. Praise the Lord. If he's involved, he is involved. And if he's involved and you get involved with him, you will encounter him. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, here is where, like Rick Joyner has said this and other preachers have said this, and it's valid. They have said that there are certain things God will bless, but he will not inhabit. Praise the Lord. Have you heard that statement? There are certain things God will bless, but he will not inhabit. And I believe that statement needs to be qualified. Because, you see, the things we hear can mean one thing to one person who has certain information. And they can mean something else to another person who lacks that information or who has a different kind of information. Praise the Lord. So what I mean by that is that statement as a standalone does not make sense. If you just take it as a standalone, you need qualifying truths from the Word of God to make the proper sense of it. Why? Because in John 3, you remember Nicodemus came to Jesus in John 3, and he came to Jesus by night. In verse 1, verse 2, he tells us, and he said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher sent from God, because no man can do these miracles that you are doing except if God is with what? Is with him. Just get that in your mind, dear saints. You cannot do anything if God is not with you. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible, even Jesus repeated this in John chapter 15. I am the vine, you are the branches. Every branch that bears not fruit and so on, he removes. He says that as the branch cannot do without the vine, even so you without me can do nothing. What I mean by that is that even those blessings that we say God blesses but does not inhabit where he has blessed, praise the Lord, they can't happen. You understand? Because he's not there. If he's not there, where did those blessings come from? Do you get what I mean? That's why I'm saying the statement is correct, but you need to have other information to understand how it means. I personally believe, before I tell you what I believe, there's another scripture in Acts chapter 10 verse 38, which says, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went about doing, with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with what? God was with him. When God is with you, miracles and healings and wonders will happen. If God is not with, in other words, if he doesn't inhabit, then what miracles are those that can happen when he's not there? Do you understand? They cannot happen. So that statement, I'm coming to what I call my opinion on that that can help us understand that statement, is that when we say he blesses, can bless something that he does not inhabit, we are speaking in degree, in terms of degree. Hallelujah. In other words, those blessings that can happen there only happen because he is there a little. He's not there that much. But for sure he's there. If anything that is of heaven is to happen, he has to be there. But he's not there that much. So even those blessings, whatever they are, cannot be that much because he isn't there that much. Are you getting it? In other words, in the Bible, little is equivalent to nothing. Do you remember that? In the parable of the talents and so on, you remember Jesus told about a man who gave talents and so on. And then there's this one who didn't use his talent. And he came back. And then the master said, take his talent and give it to the one who had 10. Then he gave a life lesson on that, and he says, him who has, to him shall be given. But him who does not have, from him shall be taken even the little that he has, or even that which he has, which is little anyway. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, do you see that scripture is showing you that even when you have nothing, you still, that nothing could be something little. Little amounts to nothing in God. That's why, by the way, when you ever do something in God, don't aim for little, because little, if you obey God a little bit, have you obeyed him? Yeah, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Little is nothing. Oh, little, oh, nothing can be that there's something little there, but on the overall, it's like there's really what? There's really nothing. Praise the Lord. If you love someone a little bit, glory to Jesus. I think there's nothing there. Praise the name of Jesus. So, also, if you could flip that parable around, you will also notice that man who had the one talent, do you remember what he said to Jesus? He said to him, to the master. He said to him, I knew that you are an austere man who reaps where you didn't what? So he's saying that when the master gave him one talent, it's like he had given him nothing. Because he's saying the master expected him to bring harvest from nowhere. You gave me nothing, and now you want a harvest. I decided to hide the other one and give it back to you. Because, man, you reap where you didn't what? Again, little is what? By the way, one of his pals, the one who got in Luke 19 version of that parable, in the Luke 19 version, all the three individuals were given the same one what? One talent. One was given one, he came back with 10. The other one was given one. Actually, I thought I was reading it wrong until I read it again. He was given one, he brought 10. They told him, well done. You have been faithful with that which was very little. Now you can have 10 cities. Another one was given also one, and he came back with what? 5. Then this one was given one, and he came back with the one, because to him he had been given nothing. And the Lord didn't say you are faithful with that very little. That very little was taken away from him. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Anyway, kind of a brain teaser, but it helps us. Praise the Lord. How does it help us? It helps us in that when we say there are things that God blesses but does not inhabit, I can assure you, if there's any blessing coming, if that blessing is a God blessing, God had to be there for it to happen. Hallelujah. But the reason we say God is not inhabiting there is we are thinking in comparative terms. He is not there that much. That's why it's as good as him not being what? Yeah, like when people talk about absentee fathers or something, they don't mean the person never came once in a lifetime. Maybe he came 2 times, 3 times, but that is like not being there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, John chapter 6. John chapter 6, the passage that we normally use is in John chapter 6, if I may sort of summarize there. People came to him in verse 2. They had seen the miracles which he did. Remember, I told you, miracles cannot happen unless God is with what? You. And that is why actually when miracles are truly happening, in any measure, they will attest to the one who is there. Praise the Lord. That is why actually when miracles happen in the Bible days, people didn't want to leave Jesus. Like the man, you remember the man who had a legion? The legion. And the Bible tells us that he pleaded with Jesus that he might be with him. And Jesus said, no, 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 don't stay with me. Rather, go home to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for you. Now, what I have seen is that it is not that these things are in the way of God being seen. If they are truly miracles, if they are truly wonders of God, they are going to so impress people with the one who made these things happen. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, where it happens that it's like the presence of God isn't there much and some miracles are happening, it's praise the name of Jesus, it's because in any case there isn't much happening there. However many miracles are happening without God, they could have been many, many more. Because the ultimate example of having God, who was Jesus, the Bible says, if the miracles he did could have been written, there would not have been enough books to account for the wonders that were done. Hallelujah. Now, I want to show you something. In John chapter 6, if you'll allow me, because of time, to sort of summarize, the people come to him because they saw the miracles he did. So then he tells Philip, where can we get bread to feed these people? Philip says, I mean, even if you had 200 denarii worth of bread, it can't do much among these. So then he tells them, tell the people to sit down. They had a boy who had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He multiplied the bread. He gave thanks to God, told them to give it out. It multiplied, fed the multitudes. Now the Bible tells us in verse 25, now, a number of events happened there because he saw that these people, when they saw the miracle, wanted to make him king, and he decided to separate himself from them. Went up on the mountain, the disciples got into the boat to cross. Now, when they got into the boat, he met them on the way, walking on water. They were afraid. He said, don't be afraid. It is me. He got into the boat got to the destination. Now, when he got there, in the meantime, people who had seen the miracle were in boats back where they came from. And they came to the spot where Jesus had been. They didn't find him there. I think they were told he has headed to the other next destination. They went hunting him down. When they got there, they told Jesus, glory to God, verse 25. John chapter 6, verse 25. So I'm still trying to show you a little bit about that. Miracles and the Lord. So verse what? Verse 25. It says, and when they had found him on the other side, these are the people who had experienced the multiplication of bread. They found Jesus on the other side. They said to him, Rabbi, when did you come this way? And Jesus answered them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw the miracles, But because you ate loaves and were what? And were filled. Then verse 27, he said, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth to everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you, for him has God the Father sealed. Now I want you to see, again, sometimes we misquote the scripture. We say Jesus was rebuking them because they were coming to him for a miracle rather than for himself. But actually Jesus was rebuking them because they were not coming to him for the miracle, but rather they were filled. Do you understand? In other words, you can get a miracle of money, for example, and you're captivated by the money rather than that the money was by a miracle. That kind of person who sees that it was by a miracle that they got money will stick with the one by whom they got the miracle. Hallelujah. Rather than the one who all they are seeing is money. So if we go back, we shall get more money. But if you get a miracle of money, next time you might get a miracle of a baby. Or a miracle of something. What is the key there is that it was a miracle from God, which attaches you to the God who did the miracle. I wanted you to see that. And anyway, this Jesus who told them to labor for the meat which does not perish, I want you to see something. This Jesus who told them to labor for the meat that does not perish is the one who did the miracle of giving them loaves. Why would he do a miracle giving them something that is getting in the way of them getting God? Are you getting it? He couldn't have been. In fact, on the second occasion, that is when he multiplied food for 5,000. Sorry, 4,000. The Bible says, on that occasion, the second occasion when he multiplied bread for 4,000, the Bible tells us that he had been preaching and these people had been following him for 3 days. They had not eaten. That means they had been sustained by some form of spiritual what? Nourishment. After these 3 days, he tells the disciples, let's not send away these people to look for food for themselves. They will faint on the way. Let's give them something to eat. So then they go through the debate there about what can feed this number of people and so on. And says, no, then they tell him there's someone with bread there and so on. So he prays and multiplies food for these, what? 4,000. And they are fed. Glory to Jesus. Now, wait a minute. He had been sustaining them by a supernatural nourishment for 3 days. Why did he want to involve himself in food which does not last, the perishable food? It's because God is always, how should I put it? We need to interact with God the way he wants us to interact with him, not the way we think. Praise the Lord. So many people, like for example, like in being led by God. Sometimes you may be looking for an answer, you're trying to get an answer from God and you're praying and you know we are led by the Spirit of God, right? But then one day the Lord tells you, go and talk to so and so. Then you say, but no, I also have the Spirit of God. Why doesn't God talk to me directly? I think that should be God's business. Praise the Lord. I think he also knew that you can hear from him directly. Praise the name of Jesus. And so that's what I'm trying to say, that what matters is that, is it him who wants to talk to you through that channel? Praise the Lord. Because if it is him, it will be just as much him through that channel as if he were talking to you directly. What matters is that it is him. So even on that day when they ate physical loaves, because they were in what God wanted at that moment, those loaves were as nourishing to them as the spiritual meat that they had been eating for three, what? For 3 days. That's what I'm trying to tell us. Now, look at this scripture in John chapter 10. John chapter 10, this one will really bless you. John chapter 10, verse 24. John chapter 10, verse 24. Hallelujah. Are you there? It says, then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long do you make us doubt? If you are Christ, tell us plainly. Hallelujah. I think that's how it is with us also sometimes in church. Sometimes what is God looks like it is mundane, it's ordinary, We want the God, like some charismatic people say, you forget these things of the anointing. I'm talking about the anointing. I'm like, which one is that one? Hallelujah. So they're telling him, don't stop making us doubt now. If you are Christ, tell us. Now what is he saying? It says, Jesus answered them, I told you and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness to who? That is what I want us to get. Because you see, as the body of Christ, like in Kampala in Uganda, we've had so much fakeness that we totally don't want anything anymore to do with supernatural. Now we just want, tell us. Are you the one? And so some people have Pastor Moses' number. They want to call him and ask him, is this preacher okay? Is that not okay? You just tell me. I don't want these things of finding out for myself. Hallelujah. Now what did he say? He said, I told you and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. That's what I was saying, that these things are points of contact. Healing evangelists used to talk about points of contact to get a miracle. But actually the point of contact is also a point of contact with God who does the miracle. Praise the Lord. That is why, for example, he tells us don't forget to congregate, to come together, to fellowship, because the days of evil are drawing near. But also, it's because it is one of the ways in which you happen to locate yourself where God will happen to be. Praise the Lord. Giving is another point of contact. Another point of contact is what? Is like what I might call God incidences. Like one time a preacher had gone to the living room to get to the kitchen to get a glass of water. So he was walking back through the living room to the bedroom and something dropped on him. He said it was like a light coat, like if someone threw a light coat over you. And he said immediately he knew what it was. It was a what? A teaching gift. Then he says, now I can teach. Praise the name of Jesus. That's a point of contact. God, you see, if you are seeking God, you must seek to contact him in all the available ways that he's likely. And when people share testimonies, sometimes that's what they are trying to. That's what God is trying to do. He's trying to calibrate you to sort of give you, what do you call it? Like you give your test buds a sort of muscle memory. You know, like muscle memory. If you've ever done something with your hands a certain number of times, your hands know where those, like if you type or you play an instrument or you do something, your fingers get muscle memory. So the next time you come into that kind of environment, the fingers will just go where they are used to going. Now, spiritually, it's also the same way. When you fellowship with fellow believers and interact with believers, hear their testimonies, walk with them, you will get a kind of muscle memory. Praise the name of Jesus. So what will happen, like another man of God, let me give you this funny one. This man of God, a reputable man of God, was sleeping. So he woke up and he woke up to the phone ringing. He had the phone ringing. So he got up to go and get the phone. Those were the days of these, you know, that round thing. So he goes to get the phone. He realizes the phone is not ringing. So he goes, and actually both him and his wife had been awakened by the phone ringing. So they go back to bed. In a few moments, the phone rings. They get up to go and get the phone. This time when they went to get the phone, they realized the husband was the one ringing like a phone. Hallelujah. And you know what the Lord told him? This is a reputable man of God. If it had been told by someone I don't believe is reputable, I wouldn't tell you. But when they prayed, the Lord showed them that he was going to cause something he had called them to do to, like its time had come. Praise the Lord. Notice phone call. And then the call. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm just saying, you be open to whatever way God wants to contact you. These are points of what? Contact. You cannot bypass the point of contact and say, yeah, you leave these things of the hand. You know, he said in Romans 10, towards the end of the chapter, he said, all day long I've stretched out my hand to a disobedient and gainsaying people. But again, he says, I was found by those who did not seek for me. Those who did not look for me, I said, here I am. Why? Because these ones that he was reaching out to were saying, ah, Jao, the hand. Me, I don't want the hand. I want you. Are you getting it? They don't want the means by which God wants to them to contact him. They want him. But he's saying, if you want me, Jesus said, if you receive me, you have received he who has sent what? If you don't receive me, you have rejected the one who has what? Now, I was beginning to show you something, then I drifted. So Jesus said, the works that I do, this is 10:25, they bear witness of me. Verse 26, but you believed not because you are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my what? My voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, who gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones to stone him. Jesus answered, many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? Then verse 33, the Jews answered him saying, for a good work we stone you not, but for blasphemy. And because that you, being a man, makes yourself God. Verse 34, Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming? Because I said I am the Son of God. Now look at verse 37. This is where we shall end. Verse 37 and 38. Are we together? 10, 37 and 38. Hallelujah. Let's just read those and conclude. Praise the name of Jesus. It says, if I do not the works of my Father, don't believe me. Praise the Lord. Now verse 38. But if I do, though you believe not what? Me. Hallelujah. Believe the works. That ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. So ladies and gentlemen, if I have done anything, it is to tell you that the Lord wants to bless our meetings. He wants to bless our church. He wants to bless the body of Christ. And he desires that we interact with him through the things he is involved in. That's why even Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. You cannot disassociate yourself from his work in the name of having him. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.